today as we come to the table.
Now it's as if God is literally stoning the earth because it's a blasphemy to God. And no doubt many more are going to be destroyed because of that. Chapter 17, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come and I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Again, the word really, the great whore who sits on many waters. And although that's kind of dramatic for our ears, I think God wanted it to be dramatic, because this is how God sees false religions that worship anything other than the true Jesus of the Bible. He sees it as whoredom, as spiritual adultery.
Do you know someone who seems to follow whatever the new trend is? They have to have the newest thing they saw on TV or social media, only to drop it for whatever comes next. That's how many people treat religion. They jump from one religion to the next, or try to combine multiple into one, but are never satisfied. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark warns that following other religions that worship anything other than Jesus is like spiritual adultery to God. Like someone who is sexually promiscuous, following and/or worshiping false gods is considered spiritually unfaithful, and God will punish those people accordingly. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 16 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If they found one of their buddies asleep, because it meant the other 15 could be put to death if he was caught, they would set his skirt on fire, literally. He'd take a coal and put it on it while he's sleeping and let it catch on fire. He'd wake up with it burning. And depends on how long it took him to wake up, how much damage it did, and how naked he was. But when that happened, it was kind of like, okay, I'm not going to be falling asleep again because my buddies are literally going to set my pants on fire. But some of the more gracious would just take your garments that you laid aside and walk off with them. So you'd wake up and you wouldn't have your garment. If it was cold, you wouldn't have your robe or whatever, and you're just kind of, it's gone. It's like you learned a lesson. Don't fall asleep. And he says, here, hey, you need to be watching. You need to be keeping your spiritual garments on, lest you walk naked and they see your shame. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people who say that the rapture is not going to happen, the Bible over and over, and Jesus over and over says, be watching, be watching, be watching. If the rapture wasn't going to take place, there'd be nothing to be watching for, by the way. Because the only thing we would be watching for would be the second coming. That's not going to come as a thief. We're going to know when that's coming. We're going to have it. If we're here, you can actually count the days down. The Bible tells us when the Antichrist, when this world leader is the instead of Christ, which is what anti means, when the instead of Christ signs that treaty with the nation of Israel, and he's a world leader, there's going to be exactly 2,520 days until the second coming. Daniel tells us that. No guesswork. He gives a specific day. So that means when Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour, he's got to be talking about something other than the second coming. It also means the Lord, when he says be watching, he's not talking about the second coming, because we don't need to watch. You just kind of count the days down when that happens and we'd be ready. No, there's going to be an event that takes place where the Lord's going to grab his bride out of here and it's going to catch us by surprise. He said, don't you be caught by surprise. Be ready. Be watching. And so he gives that encouragement right here in the midst of it. And it says, and they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. And that is, of course, in Megiddo, Armageddon, up in the northern part of Israel, an amazing battlefield. So the sixth bowl is poured out. Now we come to the seventh bowl. And notice that God's going to just completely, radically change the earth and shake the earth. And again, this is going to kind of do away with any earth worship or looking toward the earth, because it's going to be completely shaken and reformed and reshaped by the Lord himself in this. It says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It's almost like this, you know, wipe it out type thing. It's an aerial. It's not just something of the earth. It's this whole atmosphere on the earth now, the entire earth being judged in one fell swoop, so to speak. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. It'll be the biggest earthquake in world history. Imagine that. You'll see why. Listen what it does. And the great city, again, I believe no doubt here talking about Jerusalem, something that may be Babylon, but I believe Jerusalem. But it says, a great city was broken into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a great shaking of the earth and the whole topography of the earth. That is, the layout of the earth is going to change. All the mountains will be thrown down, and it says that Jerusalem will be raised up as the highest mountain on the planet. It'll be the new Mount Everest. Except it's not going to be as tall as Mount Everest. Everything else will be laid flat. All the mountains will be flat. So you'll just have a flat globe as the Lord comes back to restore it. There'll be one mountain. It'll be Jerusalem. And on there, there'll be a great big plateau where the Lord's throne is. Those who have done the calculations say it's going to be about 26 miles by 26 miles or so in size. I haven't done that, so don't quote me on that. But for those who have, they say it's going to be a platform about like that, which, by the way, it says that when the Lord gathers the sheep and the goats before his throne, now you see how the nations of the earth could be gathered on that spot. You think, wow, you couldn't get all the nations of the earth on that spot. According to statisticians, you can get every person on the planet in Texas. So if you can gather every person on the planet within the state of Texas, if they just all stood side by side, certainly you can get the people of the earth that are left on this area that's going to be judged when God raises up Jerusalem. So it may be Jerusalem, it may be Babylon. We know that's going to happen in Jerusalem, but either way it says here, this great city will be broken into three parts. The cities of the nations will fall. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, Babylon really is a picture of everything that's been wrong since the earth was reestablished after the flood. You probably need a little bit of history about Babylon. After the flood, Noah came out of the ark. God reestablished the earth, government, told them to multiply, start over again. And remember what the Bible says. They began to gather there in the plain of Shinar. They began to gather there near what we call today Iran-Iraq region. And they started saying, we're not going to scatter across the face of the earth like God said. We're going to build us a name for ourselves. And they built this big worship tower called a ziggurat. And they built this big worship tower, and they said, we're going to stay here. Well, God said, no, you're not. I'm going to scatter you. If you're not going to obey me, I'll come down and scatter you. God came down. He confused the languages, if you remember that in the Bible. And because the languages were confused, nobody could talk to each other except for each little segment. They all began to scatter and settle in different areas because they couldn't communicate. And so God used that to scatter the earth and to separate everyone. But out of Babylon came many, many of these false traditions, these false worship, as Satan was trying to get the world to worship him. He wanted the world to stay in one place and get the world to worship him rather than God. In the last days, he's going to do the same thing, gather the world together to worship him, except it's going to be the whole globe, and with the Christians gone and everything else, he's going to have them worshiping him. But this whole Babylon is a picture. There's a spiritual Babylon and there's an economic Babylon. It's really just a picture of this world system that's in rebellion to God. He says, then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So there's no more mountains. When this great earthquake right at the second coming takes place, everything will be leveled. No more mountains. They all fled away and they were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. That's somewhere right around 100 pounds. Imagine 100-pound hail falling from the sky. Where are you going to hide from that? I mean, if you're not underground, you can't hide from that. It's going to demolish everything in its path. I mean, just the little tiny ones we got here, those storms we had the last few years, right? Look what it did to the cars and the windshields. That was nothing. That's little tiny pebbles. What happens if you have a 100-pound piece of ice falling out of the sky? And it says they weigh about a talent, and then men, notice this, men blaspheme God because of the plague of hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Do you remember in Scripture what the penalty for blasphemy was? Stoning to death. The penalty for blasphemy is stoning to death. That was the Jewish penalty. And now it's as if God is literally stoning the earth because it's a blasphemy to God. And no doubt many more are going to be destroyed because of that. Chapter 17, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come and I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Again, the word really, the great whore who sits on many waters. And although that's kind of dramatic for our ears, I think God wanted it to be dramatic because this is how God sees false religions that worship anything other than the true Jesus of the Bible. He sees it as whoredom, as spiritual adultery. He says, I'll show you the great harlot. And now we're seeing the spiritual harlot after the rapture of the church, what this world religion is going to look like on the earth and what it's going to encompass. He says, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. That is, the leaders of the earth and the people of the earth got involved in this one world religion. They committed fornication. That is, they're being unfaithful to the true God of the Bible. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. It's almost like they were intoxicated with this religion. And really, man is intoxicated oftentimes by religion. Religion is not what Christianity is. You guys know that. Christianity is knowing Jesus. It's a real relationship. But there's something about religion that for a lot of people is intoxicating. They just like being religious. So they have all their little candles and all their statues and all their little events. And I'm not, you know, whatever it is, religion draws people in. Spirituality, right? It's fornication. It's sin against God. And he's going to explain now what it was. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, the beast with the seven heads and 10 horns, we've already been told what that is. That is the Antichrist and the world system. It's the world governmental system led by the Antichrist. We've already been explained that earlier in Revelation. So now we see the Antichrist and the world governmental system being ridden by this woman, this false religious system that is in power or that is still around after the church is gone and takes place. And notice what it says about the woman, which is interesting because you see almost this religion, in a sense, leading the beast seemingly. And by the way, most politicians realize that if you don't have the religious crowd, you can never really win. If you want to control the world, you've got to please the religious crowd. In the Muslim part of the world, you've got to be a believe in Allah to control the masses. In the Christian part of the world, you've got to somehow be connected to God in some form to control the masses. And so you see this whole picture of religion now riding government in control here in this picture. It says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. So she's very rich. Notice the precious stones and the pearls. Having in her hand a golden cup. Notice the gold, not brass, nothing else. All the richest of everything. Full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Again, this is that where all these Babylonian traditions came out of. It's still wrapped up in this world religion. And I'll share with you in just a moment how they're still a part of it. The mother of harlots and all the abominations of the earth. Now, I'm just going to say this. There's not a tender way to say it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. But when the church is gone and a big portion of radical Islam is gone, and the world unites in a one-world religion. There's only one world religion right now that has one leader over all of it that can unite the world. There's only one. There aren't a lot of choices. Even the Muslim world doesn't have one leader that unites them all. There's only one particular group that has one leader that controls them all, and he was just visiting America last week. That is the Catholic Church and the Pope. I do find it interesting of the wealth and riches that the Catholic Church has. Notice it says they were arrayed in verse 4 in purple and scarlet. These are that were king's clothing in that day, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Did you know that the Catholic Church is the wealthiest entity on the planet? Did you know that? They are the wealthiest entity on the planet by far. More properties owned, more cash, more all this stuff. There is not a richer group on the earth, if you will. And being this world religious leader, I believe that's who this is talking about. Now, I'm not saying that it's in its full picture of this yet. I'm just saying that my personal conviction, and you'll find that most scholars' conviction, is that this is speaking of the Catholic Church. So it's not to offend anyone or to attack anyone. It's simply to say it how it is. But notice it says it's connected to Babylon, even the original Babylon. And guys, it's amazing how many traditions have come out of the Catholic Church that even the Protestants have held on to now. Remember, the Catholic Church started. Catholic just means universal. That's all it means. And when the early church was started, the whole church was called Catholic, East and West. And then somewhere around the 300s to the 400s in there, there was an argument about who was the headquarters. Was it the East or the West? And the West said, we're the main headquarter. And the East said, no, we're the main headquarter. And there was a divide. And you had, at that point, those based in Rome became the Roman Catholic Church. And now those in the East are called Eastern Orthodox. We didn't come out of Eastern Orthodox. We came out of Roman Catholic. The Protestant church came out of Roman Catholic. That's our roots. And I'll share with you how we got there. So the Roman Catholic church was born, and there was a whole argument over who was greater. And really, this is where the worship of Mary began. And really, Peter, lifting up Peter as being the vicar of Christ or the one that's the most important, it came out of there because they were arguing over who was the greatest, and they were looking for things to up the other. Well, we're greater because of this. We're greater because of that. Well, we had Peter came here, so we're the greatest, and God called us to be the leaders. And this whole thing got going that way, and that's where we're headed now. And it was amazing to me to see the Pope. And one of his things, I watched some of those things that happened. And as amazing as he ended, I guess it was a mass or something. He began, first of all, to pray to Mary. Then he began to pray to the saints. And there wasn't really much mention of Jesus at all. And I remember as I'm studying and looking at Revelation, I was going, Lord, we're watching this take place. See how the world almost adored him when he was here? Americans adored him on both sides. I mean, Republicans, Democrats both talked about how great he was if you watch the news. That's what this is going to be. The whole world's going to look to this religious leader, whether you totally agree with them or not, as this great leader. And the Antichrist will be over that, but this world leader. I'm not saying the current pope is the false prophet, but I do believe the future false prophet will be a pope. I don't know which one, but that's the only one that I can see that's going to unify the world under one leader that we even have or have had historically. And it lines up with Scripture. Now, how do we get Babylon the Great? It's interesting. Babylon had many different things they worshipped. Nimrod, they called Tammuz. You remember reading about Nimrod in the Old Testament. He was a man who was very opposed to God, is what it tells us in the language. And they began to idolize him and worship him over time. You might call him one of the first saints, so to speak. And they gave him the name Tammuz, and they would worship Tammuz. And they believed that Tammuz was the son of Semiramis. And Semiramis was this virgin woman. And the virgin woman gave birth to Tammuz. And then Tammuz was gored by some kind of ox or bull, and 3 days later resurrected from the dead. And so you see the whole picture of the Madonna, the mother and child, and they believe that a ray of light hit him and all this, and he came back to life, and they begin to worship him on Ashtart by coloring eggs, which is where we get today, Easter. And Easter eggs. It's Ashtart and Ashtart eggs. Goes back to the worship of Tammuz and Semiramis out of Babylonian worship. Now, when you begin to study the roots of Babylonian worship, and you see here in Revelation, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, you see that same tradition. Okay, I never did finish how we came out of that. Time went down the road, right? Sorry. Went through the Dark Ages, and then there was a resurgence of people like Ulrich Zwingli and Martin Luther and all these leaders that came out and said, what are we doing? Why are we worshiping all these traditions of the church? Why are we putting the Pope's word over God's word? Let's get back to the Bible. And they start saying sola scriptura. That in Latin means scripture alone, only scripture. And that's that whole thing where Martin Luther goes and bangs his 99 thesis, you know, on the door there and says, why are we doing all these things that don't line up with the Bible? Let's get back to the Bible. And of course, he was kicked out of the church and everyone else. And the Protestant movement was born. So we are those protesters against the traditions of Babylon, the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. We came out of it and then started the Protestant Church, and now God did a whole new thing in what we see today in all the different denominations. But what's interesting, if you follow our roots back through the Catholic Church, what has followed Roman Catholicism all the way up into Protestantism? Ashtart? Ashtart eggs? They would worship Tammuz by cutting down trees and bringing them in their home and decorating them? I'm not saying it's wrong to have a Christmas tree. That's not my point. I'm just giving you some background. Tammuz was born December 25th. So understand these traditions came from the Roman Catholic as they connected to those Babylonian teachings and those Babylonian false doctrines. They carried him right in, and then we were so ingrained in that when we came out of the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism began, Protestants, and now here we are, we brought those with us. Now, again, I have no conviction about a Christmas tree. We don't do the Easter egg thing here at Calvary because of Tammuz and all that. And you know, that can be personal convictions. But the bottom line is this is where it comes from. So when it talks about Babylon, Mystery the Great, he's talking about this religion that has carried all this on and still carries it on. And it links all the way back to Babylon. So that's where these things come from. This is that religious system. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Guess who's killed probably as many Christians as anyone throughout world history? The Roman Catholic Church. The true believers that started following Jesus and denying. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs or you know anything about church history, listen, you don't have to defend church history. It's ugly. Church history is ugly. But the bottom line is the Roman Catholic Church started putting us to death. Those who believed in the Bible only, we were killed. They took the Anabaptists they called them Anabaptists because they were those who were in the Roman Catholic Church and they were born again and said, you know what, I want to be baptized. I was baptized as a baby, but I didn't even know what I was doing. I want to be baptized again. So the Anabaptists start baptizing their people again, saying, now you know Jesus. They're getting all excited and following God and being baptized because they wanted to and leaving behind the church traditions and following Jesus. So you know what they did? They gathered them together and there in Switzerland, took them down, I believe it's the Danube. Don't quote me on the river. It's been a while. I've actually been there and seen the place, but they took them down into the water and they drowned them. You like water so much? Have some water. And they drowned the believers who wanted to be baptized a second time. Enjoy this baptism. And they killed them. So when you see they were drunk with the martyrs of the saints, this is exactly the history of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, it was amazing to me knowing the scripture, knowing the history a little bit, and watching the Pope come in and all the pomp and circumstance and all the riches and all the this and how wonderful everybody, all the adoration that everyone's giving, and then to watch him never lift up Jesus Christ the entire time he was here. He never lifted up Jesus Christ. If any of you have watched it, he never once lifted up Jesus his entire visit. He's supposed to be representing Jesus to the entire world. But he talked about politics and lifted up Mary and the saints. Guys, Mary and the saints, Semiramis and Tammuz and all that kind of worship, that's that whole Babylonian system. And what was interesting to me is to see politics pulled into it because we see the woman, what? Riding politics. You see, the political leaders and the Pope just buddy-buddy the whole time. That's exactly what the Bible says will be happening in the last days. This religious system, this worldwide religious system is going to be linked up with the worldwide political system, and they're all going to be buddy-buddy, arm-in-arm together until, get this, until the political system uses them and says, we've had enough of you, we're done with the religion, and we're going to see later that the beast turns and devours the woman. What it says is, eventually the Antichrist is going to turn and just say, you know what, away with you, church, away with you. We don't want you, want nothing to do with you, and I'm God. Worship me, bow down to me. And he's going to stand up in the third rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem and declare that he's God and want people to bow down to him. At that point is when you're going to see the beast turn and devour the woman riding the beast. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. But it's more exciting to know that we're right on target and who's in control. It's Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is going through some teachings that cover Revelation. The book of Revelation is always one of those books that either draws people in or sends them running in confusion. But it doesn't have to be so puzzling that you stay away. In fact, as Pastor Mark's been going through these passages, our hope is that you're coming to a deeper and greater realization of who Jesus is in all of it. Thanks for tuning in. And we'd like to invite you to come visit us even this week. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's another opportunity for you to grow in how you're experiencing God. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. That website again is thewaymedia.net. You can also get in touch with us over the phone at 865-609-1385. One more time, that number to connect with us is 865-609-1385. That's about all the time we have for today. But please join us again in Revelation right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.